the talk of planet Earth.
We call it
TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio.
And we know you're going to love it.
TalkZone.com.
Let's get back to the Cyber Advisor on TalkZone.com. Once again, here is David Revelle.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the September 18th edition of the Cyber Advisor. If you'd like to join us on the show, the lines are open. You can dial us toll-free at 888-463-6748, 888-463-6748, or reach me anytime on my email. It's Dave at thecyberadvisor.com. Well, right now we're closing in on the big 10,000 mark. Looks like we will finish up about 200 points for the week this week. And for the record, the last time we closed above 10,000 was last October 3rd. That day the Dow fell about 1.5%, but still managed to close at 10,325, and it capped a 7.3% decline on the week. The Dow was off about 800 points that week. The Dow would continue down. It had its worst week in more than 6 years, and more declines came in the following week when the Dow sank below 10,000 for the last time. Brown Brothers Harriman has looked at the market and write that they don't expect stocks, and specifically the Standard & Poor's 500, to hit any wall of resistance anytime soon. Given the strength of the market's push, they say, to new highs, we do not think it's time to sell this rally. The S&P 500 is currently retracing the post-Lehman Brothers waterfall decline, and that poses little resistance before the 1100 mark on the Standard & Poor's 500. 1100 on the Standard & Poor's 500 would be up about 50 some points above where we are right now. Well, one of the little known areas of the market are the rating agencies. These are the agencies that give those AAA, AA, single A ratings. A AAA rating means a tremendous amount to anyone who issues any kind of fixed income vehicle, be they bonds or be they any kind of the structured investments such as the Ginnie Mae funds, the mortgage-backed securities, and so on. And the reason this was absolutely critical was really two parts. One, it does save in interest rates for the issuer, but the other is that it gives the investor a good idea of exactly what the risk is in any given securities. Now, it has become apparent from the behavior principally at this point of mortgage-backed securities that many of those mortgage-backed securities were rated at levels that they did not deserve. We've seen the default rate on mortgage-backs go way above what any of the rating agencies had predicted. The projections were default levels of various portfolios of no more than 8 or 9%, and we are approaching double those rates right now, which means the value of the entire portfolio is substantially below what investors were led to believe by the rating agencies. Now, the way the rating agencies work, and there are three, there's Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. The way all three of those work is if you are a bond issuer and you are coming to the market with a new issue, you will generally go to one of the rating agencies and ask them to rate the issue. You will then pay them for rating the issue, and therein is the conflict. You, the person who has the most interest in having a high rate, are also the person who is paying them. Well, a couple of young entrepreneurs have seized upon that idea and tried to change the entire model of how rating agencies work. One of them is James Gellert. Now, James is CEO of Rapid Ratings. And Rapid Ratings works in a very different way than traditional rating agencies. Instead of being paid by the issuers, Rapid Ratings is paid by the subscriber to their service, the investors. So they have an obligation to the investor to get the ratings right. So this week, the Securities and Exchange Commission held a lengthy meeting on exactly how rating agencies worked, and James Gilbert was interviewed and asked what he expects from this SEC meeting, and here's what he said.
Well, I think it would be good to have some definitive words from the SEC on exactly where we're going. They've touched on a lot of these subjects, rating shopping, not so much liability, but disclosure of ratings actions in the past. And this is really a part of a process that's been going on for the better part of a year. So I think what we'd like to see today is a little bit of definitive view on how they're going to treat the disclosure of historical ratings, which is an important part of the puzzle for companies like ours that are subscription-based. We'd like to see a little bit of the of them addressing the rating shopping issue, and this issue of liability is getting more and more important. You probably have already discussed today that the California Attorney General has come out announcing that he's going to be investigating the rating agencies as well. So there are a lot of topics here.
Okay, rating shopping is when I go to a couple of different rating agencies trying to get the best possible rating that I can. And incidentally, this liability question is going to be a very, very big one going forward. Well, the role of traditional rating agencies is kind of explained in this next cut by James Gellert, and here he is.
Sure. The companies, most of the bond issuers are getting rated by Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and then if it's a structured product, sometimes they'll use Fitch as well, or instead of the other two. And they're paying for their ratings, and the rating agencies are producing the ratings for public consumption. A firm like ours doesn't have any contact with the issuers themselves, and we sell our products. We rate based on companies having publicly available financials, and then we sell our subscriptions to investors or sell-side shops or other users.
And then he goes on to explain exactly what those advantages were or are, and here's the next comment.
Sure. In many ways, it does, and we're certainly seeing a cry for change. You're seeing it in the stock prices of McGraw-Hill and in Moody's. You're seeing it in some of Warren Buffett's divestiture of some of his Moody's stake and Fimilax of Fitch's. So it's clear. There's clearly a lot of winds of change going on, and Treasury Department's recently come out with some new suggestions as well.
The incestuous nature of this entire, issuance process is really one of the things that needs to be cleaned up. He's absolutely on the money, but I also think he has probably the right answer, and that is to have an independent firm. Here's what he says about firm independence.
Oh, definitely. I think it's key. What we need to do to get to a demand-driven market, though, is cut some of the structural impediments. And one of the big ones should be addressed today, and that's having the use of the issuer-paid rating agencies, primarily through their NRSRO status, the rating agency designation that the SEC gives, that has been codified in a lot of SEC rules. And if the SEC is serious about change, we'll see them reducing the reliance and the use of some of those designations and some of their own regulations today.
These are really questions, though, that go beyond the SEC, and in a sense, the market is correcting itself. The buy side on the market is the area that has become absolutely the biggest trend, certainly in the time that I have been on Wall Street. And the buy side means the mutual funds, the pension funds, the big endowments, the trust companies, and the individual investors, all of which combined have a real interest for the rating agencies to get things right. And that is what really will drive this whole process. James Gellert speaks a little bit about this buy side momentum in this next response.
Well, really, just by approaching this in an entirely different way, we've reduced and eliminated all of the conflicts of interest that they're being criticized for, but also approaching ratings in a different way, not just looking at it from the perspective of default probabilities, is a way that allows us to be well ahead of them, in some cases years, if not quarters and months ahead of them in the changes of how companies are performing, either improving or deteriorating.
So the market is already structuring a new answer to the problem. Change has already come into the market, and you'll see a lot of differences as you go forward. Over on Bloomberg Television, Sean Egan, with his own ratings firm, which also operates in a very similar fashion, was asked to respond in exactly what he saw the SEC's role in this crisis. And here's Sean Egan with his response.
It's absolutely critical. Somebody has to be the cop on the beat making sure that people act properly. And in the case of the rating firms, major rating firms, you can easily argue that the ratings were inflated and they hurt investors. So the question is, how do you go about curtailing that poor activity? We think that restricting rating shopping is going to be fairly difficult. John Coffey said that it's impossible to curtail rating shopping. We'll see if the SEC goes beyond that.
John Coffey is the securities attorney who's on the faculty at Columbia University and one of the most renowned people in this area. And possibly he's right. Maybe we can't prevent rating shopping. However, competition coming into these market like these two young entrepreneurs here go a long way to making it a more competitive answer. And I think fundamentally both Sean Egan and James Gellert are right that you need to have a different person getting the response, paying for the response of who's being rated. It can't be the issuer and come out and say, well, then that's an objective analysis of where they are. They're clearly biased in that entire process. Here, Sean Egan speaks a little more about that, a little more about the rating shopping.
It means that an investment banker goes, makes rounds with the various rating firms and tries to get the highest rating possible such that they can reduce the issuance cost for the company. You go to one rating firm and say that 80% of the structured finance deal can be AAA. The next one might say 82, and before you know it, you have a collapse of the system. I believe the SEC is going to try to curtail that and report any rating shopping. The problem is that if a rating firm doesn't give the right answer to the investment bank, they won't be called in the future. So you have to step back and figure out how do you stop these incentives, these misaligned incentives. And our view is that it's an unmanageable conflict to be paid by the issuers. Rating firms should solely be paid by investors. That's the way to get at the problem.
Sean Egan is, of course, correct about that. So either one of two things happens at that point. Either you have unbelievable results, unbelievable ratings as we do now, or you take away the conflict. But the bottom line for this and the bottom line for every investor at every major investment firm that I have ever been with, we have always had our own internal rating of all the issues and all of the issuers going forward. And that's exactly what we all need to do. We all need to do our own independent analysis, or have someone, if someone is managing for us, they need to do independent analysis of exactly what's happening. This has pointed to a major flaw in the entire rating system that we have. And until corrected, independent analysis done by the investment side, the buy side of the business, is the only thing that will take you through to an investment that you can really trust and really move forward with. Well, finally, Sean was asked how the SEC would manage this whole process, and here is his response.
I think it's fairly difficult. The spotlight is on them, but actually they're not the only party that's involved in it. There's been a number of lawsuits. The most recent one was California suing the rating firms for poor business practices. We think that the heavy lifting will actually be done by the courts, whereby agents such as Morgan Stanley, they're sued in one case, won't be allowed to use conflicted ratings, or if they use conflicted ratings, we'll have to announce it to the buyers and possibly supplement it with non-conflicted ratings. So the SEC is not the only actor. In fact, the legislator, I think there's probably about five different bills concerning the rating industry, and those are going to have an impact too. A lot of people are trying to solve this problem. We think in another 6 months we'll have a much better solution than what we have right now.
I think the California lawsuit is a very important lawsuit because I think it will point out the difficulty that the rating agencies have. Having said that, however, it is inconceivable to me that somebody like the state of California or CalPERS or CalSTRS or any of the other major buy-side entities in California, they all have the resources to do independent analysis, and this just points out how incredibly, incredibly important that is. Having said that, however, Sean Egan is then asked whether or not he thought that this issue will get lost in all of the other securities reform that's going forward. And he was asked whether or not he felt it was an important issue. And here is his very good response.
Actually, this is a core issue. Most people that have been following the crisis have identified inflated ratings as being one of the primary causes of the crisis. So I think that the Treasury's actions in this area are terrific. It's great that the SEC is looking at it. The Congress is looking at it. And so I think the courts are looking at it. So I think that we're going to get some very positive solutions over the next 6 to 12 months.
I think Sean is exactly right, only it's about one half the story. The rating agencies are a major issue and were a major problem in the whole process going forward. But the real crisis came because of a situation where financially this entire country was over-leveraged, and we believed that we had the ability to precisely designate exactly how much risk existed in all the instruments through which we had all of this leverage, all of the derivative instruments we saw going forward. So the equation went something like this. I can tell you exactly what your risk is because I've measured that precisely, and therefore you can go leverage up to the maximum, and that's exactly what we did. When it turned out that my measurement of the risk was wrong, then my leverage is clearly wrong, and that is the process that we're going through now. It is a very painful process, but in order to understand the financial crisis, one needs to really understand the role of the rating agencies. Well, it's time for a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with much more right after this.